After 12 years and Grendel's attacks, Grendel's mother, seeking revenge for the murder of her son, mounts her own attack. Grendel's mother flees, since she is vastly outnumbered by the Danish soldiers, who are not only using their shields to protect themselves against her attack, but their swords in counterattack upon her. She realizes she cannot win this battle and runs for her life. Hrothgar sends for Beowulf to ask him to, once again, rid the land of the monster. In this case, Grendel's mother. Hrothgar leads Beowulf through the forest, hills, and cliffs in following Grendel's mother's tracks to the bloody, bubbling lake in which she has her lair. The lake containing Grendel's mother's lair may be described as horrifying. It is hot, swirling, filled with snakes, serpents, and sea beasts. Beowulf is careful to wear his armor because he knows the hammered links of the woven mail will protect his heart from monster claws. He wears the helmet to protect him from sword blows. And while Beowulf does battle with Grendel's mother, Hrothgar and his soldiers are staring into the lake, watching it surge and seethe. They agree that Grendel's mother must be the victor in this battle, but they wait anyway. Later in the day, the Danes and their king leave, while the others remain waiting in hope of the triumphant arrival of their leader from the depths of the horrifying lake. That from Beowulf, the Max Notes guides. There is a lake in our midst that seems to magically appear and then disappear, and that is Lake Augusta when the dam is raised in Shikellamy State Park. There may be large and smallmouth bass, northern pike, walleye, and other fish, but certainly nothing like Grendel's mother. She will be evoked, though, while medieval music is played, while dancers dance, and the world of the Middle Ages is celebrated at the third annual Lake Augusta Renaissance Festival at Waterfront Park in Sunbury, Saturday, September 10th, from noon to 6 p.m., presented by Sunbury's Revitalization and the Society for Creative Anachronism. We had a chance to speak by phone with Robert Rausch, Executive Director of Sunbury's Revitalization, and Tim Taylor of the Society for Creative Anachronism about the event and the partnership between the two groups. Robert Rausch.
We do several things. We're mostly an economic development organization in the area, but one of the things that we're in charge of is having activities on the waterfront. In about 2011, Sunbury completed a beautiful riverfront park with walkways on the other side of the wall. If you've never been to Sunbury and experienced the wall, that's something that went up in 1950. Or just a little bit before that, in order to protect the city from flooding after there were two floods in 1936 and then 1946. So that wall people kind of had different opinions on, and now it actually works to separate the traffic and the city from a beautiful park and walkway, and that's where the Lake Augusta Renaissance Festival takes place. So we're very active, and we do a lot of things in the area trying to bring attention and economic development to the city.
We know there's lots of wonderful history in and around Sunbury, but how did the idea for a Renaissance Festival come about?
Well, the idea for a Renaissance Festival came about through the connection of our president, who's been with us for 3 years now. Her name is Megan Beck, and she had some contacts within the society, and there were some discussions about, well, what could we do on the waterfront with the society that might be interesting, and then the idea kind of progressed from there.
Well, Tim, then tell us about the Society for Creative Anachronism.
The society is a worldwide organization started in the late 60s, that's centered around research into and educating about the Middle Ages. I've been a member since I was 16, and I'm now nearly 50. It's been a very, very good home for me. I met my wife there, all of my long-term friends, and we're just joined together with a common interest in medieval history. Our organization, as I said, has chapters all over the world and tens of thousands of people with one common interest. It makes for a pretty powerful synergy to do things together. And we're always looking forward to the opportunity to instruct others in the different things that happened during the Middle Ages, whether it's the different arts and crafts, the different martial activities, whether it's fighting, whether it's archery, whether it's fencing. And when the concept of a Renaissance Festival was put forth, it seemed a perfect marriage between two organizations to work towards common ends.
May I ask what your specific area of interest is?
Well, for years and years, it was primarily the martial aspect of it. We do a lot of research into historical fighting and fencing manuals, and it runs much like a modern martial art like karate or taekwondo or anything like that. But I've kind of gravitated towards almost an elder statesman thing. I've been with the organization for so long, I consider it kind of my responsibility to help the next generation get started.
Sometimes you assume characters, don't you? And you wear special garb that is appropriate for the time and try to really make it so that we have a sense of walking back in time.
Very much so. Anything that was done in the Middle Ages, our different people do. All of our outfits aren't so much costumes. It's not like you would see in a theater production. A great many of them are hand-woven from the same fashion that they would have been done hundreds of years ago. They're hand-sewn, and they're not at all what you would call costumes. If for somehow I could go back in time with my outfit on, I would fit right in my particular area of interest, which is early 15th century Switzerland. And we have people that are all over Europe, all over the different time frames, and as they've been with the organization longer and longer, their outfits get better and better. So yeah, to a great extent, it is like walking backwards in time.
When we come, then, it's not just visual. We get to hear music. We get to watch people dancing and all
very
of this.
Very much so. In the past years, and I'm not 100% certain which crafts we're going to be displaying, but it's not just a chance for us to demonstrate. To a great extent, there's an opportunity for people to actually practice some of the different crafts we do. We had archery butts set up last year so people could come out and learn how to shoot archery in a historically accurate fashion. We had people who would throw knives and axes, and again, the public is welcome to try their hand at the different tasks. We had artisans who were doing metal casting as not just a demonstration. You could really kind of get your hands dirty, so to speak. We had people cutting goose quill pens. We had people fletching arrows. I think we had brewing last year. Pretty much anything that was done, we have people who do, and it's just a matter of who actually schedules to come out and display. We only have so much room along the waterfront. We have to leave room for the food vendors and everybody else.
Like I said, the wall separates the riverfront, and once you walk over the path and past that wall, it really is like walking back in time. Even the tents that they set up are authentic to the period, and you will see that authentic garb from individuals, people from the town and from the area who enjoy dressing up and doing that sort of thing also attend the event. We have a lot of entertainment as well. This year we are going to have some belly dancers in a Renaissance tradition, something that you may have seen in Renaissance Italy with people wandering through from places like the Middle East that were really happening in that time. We'll have a harp player, for example, and she will be playing appropriate music from the period as well, and she'll be moving about the area, as will the dancers. I think there's probably going to be a few surprises in store, and of course I can't say what some of those things are, and sometimes we don't even know what some of the dramas are that are unfolding between some of the characters there. It's certainly really exciting to see some of the men as they challenge one another and fight for actually the right to be king. And certainly Tim can tell you a little bit more about that. And I think in his past, he may have actually earned that right himself.
In our organization, we're, again, researching the different aspects of medieval history. And in the Middle Ages, the feudal system, the monarchy was such a central core component of everyone's lifestyle. And since we don't have any historical lineage, we don't have a descendant of a king as part of our organization, we have tournaments a couple of times a year, and whoever wins these tournaments gets the opportunity to be our king, if you will, and make his lady our queen. It's just one of the things we've had to do. It's part of our anachronism, if you will. And I've been fortunate enough to win a couple of times.
And so how do you reign then?
It's more of a ceremonial, it's obviously a ceremonial title, if you will. But your job is to provide a direction for the organization for your time as monarch, to get everybody enthused, to be a rallying point. Essentially the medieval equivalent of you're doing mall openings and the like. It's a figurehead, but for my wife and I, it was one of the most interesting experiences of our lives.
And you say that because of what you've learned and all of the people you've met and the opportunity to do just what you've described, and that is pass it on and keep the traditions alive.
Well, very much so. Well, as I said, it's a ceremonial figurehead position, but the organization has tens of thousands of members. For instance, we have a big activity in late August that's attended by 15,000 people, and you're essentially the head of that organization, that the head of that gathering, and you're trying to make sure that everybody who takes their 2 weeks vacation to go out and do that has a good time. You're almost an MC of a gathering for 15,000 people. It's a pretty heady responsibility, and you want everybody to leave with a smile on their face.
This really is a great opportunity for teaching kids, because what they can walk into is a living history. So if you enjoy taking your kids to a museum, this is taking your kids to a living museum outdoors, and they get to actually interact. They get to put their hands on the crafts. They get to put their hands on the archery bows and arrows and the thrown weapons. And everything we do, of course, is done very safely. So they can really interact and feel how it felt to be living at that time.
It says children's games.
There are children's games, and we have a gentleman who's a woods craftsman, and he has made a miniature trebuchet, which is something that on a very large scale was used to bombard castle walls during attacks in the medieval period. So kids will be able to experience that sort of thing on a much smaller scale. We have some other games, like a sword in the stone game, that will be brought to us by some of our local merchants, who will also be offering the opportunity for people to put on some costumes of their own if they choose to do so and walk about the ground.
And storytelling?
One of our local members, in fact, he is local in Sunbury, is renowned in our organization as a storyteller. He has been as far away as California, telling different stories to different groups as part of what he does. That's where my interest tends to be. The martial aspect of it is just that, the storytelling. And he does a lot of the period stories. One in particular, he does the Beowulf saga, which was a story written in, I believe, the 11th century. And that he'll tell it in the original Old Norse, and he can also tell it in modern English. And when he tells the story, it's you'll be on the edge of your seat.
Grendel and all the rest.
Exactly so.
Tim, why have you spent so much of your time in life dedicated to this society and this period?
Again, I started as a teenager, and it really gave me a focus. I grew up in not a particularly great neighborhood, and the members of the organization, as long as I behaved as an adult, they treated me as an adult, and it really provided the foundation for a young man to grow up. And I learned about chivalry. I learned about honor. I learned about courtesy. All these things that are slightly not medieval. They're the Victorian ideal of what knighthood was about. And I've built my life around those traditions, those character traits, if you will. I try and be an honorable man. I try to be a loyal, responsible adult. And in the Middle Ages, and the way they're studied in the Arthurian romances, things of that nature, they were such a central point of it. And frankly, I think we could use a lot more of that in our society today.
How about you, Robert? Why is it important for us to not forget roots that we have in the Middle Ages and Renaissance?
Well, when we keep our history, and we keep it both through the storytelling and actually doing the activities and crafts of our past, we get a sense of where we came from and why we do the things that we do today. And I think that brings more meaning to the things that we do today. So we may have cell phones today that we text on, but when you come to the Renaissance Festival and you see them pressing paper and they give you a quill pen to write on that paper, you slow down and you write these words and you carefully write them and you start to think to yourself, wow, we text really quickly today on our phones, but back then you had to think about what you were writing, and you certainly had the time because it took a lot longer to do that. So that's something we can learn from the past, maybe to do something like slow down and take some more time before we say what we're going to say and come up with a better way of saying it.
Robert Rausch, Executive Director of Sunbury's Revitalization, and Tim Taylor of the Society for Creative Anachronism, speaking with us about the third annual Lake Augusta Renaissance Festival, located in Sunbury Riverfront Park, and the date is September 10th. That's Saturday, September 10th, noon to 6 p.m. There will be storytelling, a medieval encampment, fencing, archery, artisan demonstrations, historical displays, a chess tournament, children's games, musicians, dancers, and much more. The Lake Augusta Renaissance Festival, Saturday, September 10th, noon to 6 p.m. in Sunbury's Riverfront Park. Presented by Sunbury's Revitalization and by the Society for Creative Anachronism. For more information on the web, sripa.com, sripa.com, or you can find them on Facebook. The Lake Augusta Renaissance Festival, Saturday, September 10th, noon to 6, in Sunbury's Riverfront Park. For more information on the web, sripa.com, sripa.com.